Welcome to Corazon Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Cam Deemer. Mr. Cam Deemer serves as Dr. First's president and brings more than 20 years of healthcare industry experience to this position. He joined Dr. First in 2004 as the director of product management before being appointed general manager in 2005 and president shortly thereafter. Since joining Dr. First, Cam Deemer has played an instrumental role in formalizing and driving improved business processes while developing new technology strategies to leverage the benefits of e-prescribing and other Dr. First platform services for providers, hospitals, payers, and other healthcare stakeholders. He has also been a strong proponent of promoting interoperability in the healthcare industry by sharing clinical data between systems. Well, good afternoon, Cam. Glad to have you on the show.
Hi, I'm really happy to be here, Brian.
Cam, thanks for joining. I appreciate it. You know, what interested me having you on this show, The Digital Executive, is that healthcare technology background you and your company have. Not only that, it's, you know, the telehealth aspect of it, especially in this global pandemic. But looking at your bio, you have a distinguished career, Cam. Could you tell our audience how you came together with Dr. First and how that was founded?
Sure, be happy to. I actually joined the company about 5 years after its founding. To understand why Dr. First was founded, it's helpful to understand a little bit about the founder, Jim Chen. So I can back up a little bit. Jim's actually worked in a number of industries. He started his career in nuclear power, worked for NASA for a while, and for many years launched satellites for Intelsat. I think Jim was responsible for over 20 satellite launches. And after he retired from Intelsat, he actually founded a company in the 90s to pursue a concept that he thought of as creating a secure tunnel through the internet. So he ended up taking a company public that was one of the early inventors of virtual private networks, although nobody had a name for it at the time. And after this successful exit around internet security, Jim essentially retired and took up philanthropical pursuits for a couple years and decided, you know what, maybe he should go back to work and find something else where he could contribute. So he got to know a physician, and the physician was sharing with him the difficulties doctors were facing around requirements to implement more and more electronic technology, and at the same time seeing diminishing reimbursements. And Jim was really caught up in that. And you can tell by the name of our company, Dr. First, that he really founded it because he wanted to do something to help the physicians, you know, in this time when they were really being pulled in different directions by the health plans and by the requirements for more computer systems, you know, things were very uncomfortable for them. So I came to Dr. First in 2004 after a career in the PBM industry. At that time, I had very early on started working with electronic prescribing. I was one of the original co-chairs at NCPDP, helping develop version one of the script standard. And later had worked at NDC Health for a while, where I was a part of the team there that was developing e-prescribing. When I joined Dr. First in 2004, they had a couple years previously launched their e-prescribing platform, but were really stuck. It wasn't selling. Doctors weren't interested in converting to electronic processes and getting rid of their prescription pads. And I came in to help Jim figure out how to make that go. It was interesting over time, Dr. First really shifted its focus to creating technology platforms around medication management and collaboration and taking a more horizontal approach to healthcare. Jim's idea had always really been to help the physician really function as a physician in this new era of technology by creating what I would call practical interoperability across the whole set of healthcare stakeholders. We recently coined a term for that. We call it the healthyverse, and we think of it as everyone who's working together to try to create a good outcome for the patient. And Jim had always been quite passionate about making information from all the stakeholders available right at the moment when the physician and patient were working with each other. So I loved the vision, loved working with Jim and the rest of the executives at Dr. First, and have been there for almost 16 years now.
That's amazing, Cam. I did check out your website and I love your vision, the mission you're doing. You're serving the greater needs of the patient through your technology platform. So I think that's amazing. Cam, can you share your goals for 2020? Any new product or service you plan to launch this year or maybe postpone it due to the global pandemic?
You know, that's an interesting way to phrase it at the end, Brian, if there's anything that the pandemic put off. That made me stop and think for a minute because I hadn't thought about it that way before, but I don't think so. I believe that what we had originally planned is still the direction we're headed for 2020. And it's really based around three things. We're very focused on driving through on care team collaboration. We have a platform we call Backline. It has been very focused on the workflows in healthcare, how you can use essentially expresses as a secure texting platform, but has all kinds of, you know, back-end integrations and workflow capabilities to make it really suited to healthcare. We recently added a telehealth component on that, which came at just the right time, actually. So in 2020 and 2021, we're going to really focus on helping physician practices and hospitals really drive through on digital transformation to get people off the phone, off of email, off of fax machines, and into these very practical, powerful, secure collaboration capabilities. Second thing, we really want to address the 40% of prescriptions that are still not written electronically. This is like a huge gap in the way we all think about electronic prescribing today. You'll see numbers as high as, you know, 75, 80% of all physicians e-prescribe. And technically that's true, but they don't e-prescribe all of their scripts. And we want to really address that big chunk of scripts that are still phoned into the pharmacy or written on paper and handed to patients. We've launched a beautiful, simple, but extremely powerful app called iPrescribe for iPhone and Android. And you can tell by the reviews that providers really love it. We want that to be everybody's second system. You know, when you're in your practice, when you have access to your EMR, you absolutely should use that. When you do not have easy access back to that EHR, just pull out your smartphone and write the script electronically. I think people will find it in the end much easier, safer for the patient, and has a lot of ways and encourages better outcomes. The third thing is we're actually trying to meet two big needs of patients. Whenever patients are surveyed about what they want out of healthcare applications, they want two things. They want price transparency and they want all their records in one place. We've been working for a few years on price transparency. We've got a pretty generically named capability called RX Notifications. We call it that because we're not trying to drive a brand. We're trying to improve outcomes for patients by helping them actually get their drugs filled at pharmacy. So we've had that in place for quite a while. In 2020, 2021, we're going to really focus on driving more patients through it. Hopefully by the end of this year, nearly every patient in the country will have received a message from us that gives them the full price of their prescription that they'll be likely to pay, coupon or savings if that's available, as well as information about what pharmacy it's at, and probably educational information as well in many cases about why they're taking the drug, how to take the drug, things like that. The second piece of that is all their records in one place. We have recently launched an application called Huddle. On the App Store, you'd look for it under Huddle Health. And it gives the patient an opportunity to reach out to their physician portal, pull down their information in an organized way, all their physician portals, as well as taking all this paper we still get and being able to quickly and easily add paper records into the application as well. It's really aimed at helping caregivers collect and track all the information of the people that they need to watch out for. This is a little newer than our RX Notifications product, but we're very serious about developing it quickly and people can begin to experience it right away. So really those three things.
It sounds like you are all very busy in developing and providing new services that will improve that whole patient experience. And I appreciate that being in healthcare technology for 20 years. Cam, thank you for sharing that. Cam, while you're already in that virtual health business, right, what unforeseen challenges did you face with the pandemic? As a lockdown rolled into place, people in the remote space thought, oh, we're prepared for this. And come to find out, you know, they really weren't because of the surge of people getting online. Right. Did you learn anything from this? Did you need to improve or adjust anything along the way?
You know, our position in this has been interesting. I actually, in some ways, feel kind of guilty about it because I know there are, you know, people in a lot of industries that are hurt very badly by this, including in healthcare. We were fortunate in that much of our business was not dramatically touched other than giving us an opportunity to use the technologies we've developed a little more broadly. As an example, I mentioned earlier the Backline platform for secure collaboration. We had been working for some time on, you know, the idea that at some point after we'd really nailed down various workflows that we would incorporate a telehealth component into Backline. We went live with that component right the same week that the stay-at-home order started to hit. You know, it was just in time. We had to buckle down and work hard to get the news out, you know, that this is available now, help people find it and, you know, take the step to understand enough about it to begin to implement it. And we worked really hard. I mean, one of the lessons we learned is when you have a pandemic, if you can't implement people immediately, you may as well not bother. So we made a big component of what we did, the ability to immediately, you know, enroll, train extremely large numbers of people at large health system sites. That was something that we already had our eye on, but we certainly had to perfect it very quickly. The other kind of challenges we saw, though, I think were probably things that people in general were seeing across the healthcare space. For instance, we work a lot with EHR vendors. About half of our business is, we call it our partners. You know, they adopt our platforms inside their EHR and then they resell it to physicians. We saw pressure on a lot of our EHR vendor partners as they, you know, ran into situations where physicians weren't able to see patients, hospitals weren't able to do elective procedures, and they started running into cash flow problems, payment issues. So we saw some of that. We saw priorities changing dramatically, you know, the kind of decisions people were getting ready to make to adopt different kinds of technologies all got pushed back to make room for how we're going to deal with the here and now of responding to COVID-19. It was pretty evident when we looked at our metrics for, you know, the last month or so. We saw about a 10% overall decline in the number of physicians prescribing, for instance. And we saw a similar drop in prescriptions as all these physician practices kind of went offline to figure out what they were going to do, and hospitals as well, as they stopped seeing elective procedures. But it's already beginning to bounce back. Over the last 2 weeks, we've seen the numbers starting to come up again as people get their feet under them and figure out, you know, ways to begin to work virtually, or some of the states are starting to open up again. So we did see a dip, but it's encouraging to see people starting to come back now.
Yeah, that's great. I do certainly hope the economy picks up quickly again and safely, of course. But I'm glad that you were all prepared for this shift. A lot of people had to pivot, and the pivoting has been a challenge for many. So Cam, do you leverage any new technology in your products that you might share? For example, when I say new technology, maybe emerging technology, you know, artificial intelligence, deep learning, machine learning, you know, in your products, whether you do or not. But how does your product differentiate you from your competition?
That's actually a great question, Brian, because people are starting to adopt machine learning and AI in a lot of different ways. We actually have done some interesting work with that. We've tried to focus on it primarily as a way to help people get their work done better, like practical work that they need to do. I think one of the most interesting ways that we use machine learning and AI is in a product platform we call SmartSig. Let me set the stage for that a little bit. We have a medication history platform. That means when a patient is admitted to a hospital and medication reconciliation needs to occur, they will make a call to our medication history platform and receive back a set of records for that patient, you know, regarding the drugs they're taking. We do a lot of things to make that feed better. you know, we take the industry standard information that's available. We go out and source more information to bring it into the feed. But we're by far not the only vendor offering a service like that. And when considering which feed to purchase, hospitals only, I mean, they often focus only on how complete is the feed. We stack up well there. We have the most complete feed in the industry, but that is usually the only focus, and it's kind of missing the point. They often overlook the dirty little secret of the industry, which is how many of those records that come back don't contain SIGs. They just have blanks where the SIG would be, or sometimes they have a text SIG, meaning written out in a text field. And the problem with that, whether it's blank or whether it's text, is that it can't be interpreted by a machine properly. So someone needs to step in and do a manual process of either re-entering the data or making a phone call to a physician or a pharmacy to try to fill in the missing information. They also often don't understand another secret, which is the records that come back are a hodgepodge of drug compendiums and nomenclatures. You know, whatever was in use by the person who created the record, that's what the hospital is going to receive when they do a med history pool. Problem with that is if it doesn't match what the hospital uses, like if it's a different drug database or an older drug database, or they use different nomenclature, like maybe the creator said by mouth, but the hospital says oral, you know, things like that. It doesn't match, and therefore the record can't be imported automatically. So again, you're either stuck with imported as a text blob, which is kind of useless in the hospital EHR, or have someone take the time to manually type it and deal with potential mistakes and things like that. What we did with machine learning and AI was we analyzed huge amounts of prescribing information that we have available because we've been running these platforms for so long. We're able to go back and add missing data elements into the medication history records. We're able to adjust the nomenclature to match the hospital nomenclature. We're able to adjust for the drug compendium differences. We initially had done that using a non-MLAI process, you know, just manual effort on spreadsheets, but you can't ever keep that up to date, and it's not nearly as comprehensive. And once we were able to implement a more advanced process, we saw a huge increase in the number of records we could improve for hospitals. So that became both an implementation of new technologies in a very practical way, as well as a differentiator for that product. And we were able to patent that, Brian, which was a nice thing as well.
Yeah, that's always good to have a patent on that technology, of course, but that's amazing. And I'm glad that you are all leveraging some of this newer technology to improve efficiency around the healthcare continuum. Thank you. Cam, just to kind of wrap up real quick, we're asking for a quick nugget. Any thoughts on how our audience might leverage your technology health needs? Leveraging your platform, of course.
Well, tell you right now, we're really focused on what we call the triangle of care. If you picture a triangle and you've got physicians, hospitals, and pharmacies at the corners of the triangle, and then the patient in the middle, we are very serious about creating real collaboration in that space, getting physicians talking to hospitals, hospitals talking to pharmacies, physicians and pharmacies talking. As I mentioned before, getting everybody off the phone, getting everybody off fax machines, and driving real practical interoperability, not waiting for the government to tell us all how we have to do it, but letting people meet each other's needs at a very grassroots level. So one way our technologies can be used is to create that connectedness between the elements of that triangle of care, as well as that big cloud of stakeholders that surround it. Payers, the PBMs, laboratories, pharma, everybody that's in that healthy verse, it needs to work together. Because we focus on medication management, everything we do ties together very neatly. So I think taking a look at how our platforms can help people truly digitally transform what they do and open up that exchange of information between stakeholders, it's a good future vision. It's a good way to leverage what we have available. For patients, love to have them try out Huddle Health, as well as once they go to the doctor and they see a thing pop up on their phone that says RX notification, I'd like them to pick up their drugs. That's what that's all about, is encouraging people to actually consume the therapies that they need to get well.
I think Huddle Health is certainly an amazing app, and I'll have to check that out. I've always, I guess, in the last year or so, I've been using the Walgreens app, and it's amazing mm-hmm. for those sorts of things around picking up prescriptions and getting notifications from your provider. Thanks for sharing. Cam, I just want to personally thank you for having you on the show today and joining here, and I certainly look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Brian. It was great to talk to you.
Bye for now.